Good morning and happy Easter. I'm Catherine Fluck Price. I'm one of the pastors here of Trinity, and it is my privilege and joy to welcome you on this beautiful day as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. I hope that at some point during the service you'll take the opportunity to fill out the Connect card. It is in your bulletin, and you can fill it out for us. If you're here for the first time, we sure hope that you'll fill out as much information as you are comfortable providing. And even if you're here on an every Sunday basis, if you will fill out at least your name and your email, it helps us to both get connected and stay connected to you. And we sure do appreciate it. I also want to let you know that if you are here with children in this service, that there is an Easter celebration for your family following this service. There's one following the 9:40 service, and those folks are out there now. But there will be another Easter celebration and egg hunt after this service. It will be over near the chapel. So if you go out the doors and walk around to your left, all the way around to the chapel, there'll be a celebration there. And we hope that you'll take advantage of that as you celebrate the resurrection with your children. And finally, I want to invite you to stand, and we're going to share together as we celebrate the resurrection. So join me in responding responsively. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. The Lord is risen. He has risen indeed. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Christ has risen indeed. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me even will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through Jesus our Lord. The Lord is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. Let me invite you to say hello to someone near you. Please say Happy Easter and introduce yourself if you don't know them.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's join together in beginning our worship service together.
Thank you. God of life, your risen Son has gathered us this morning to celebrate with joy and thanksgiving that death is dead, love has won, and the brilliant light of resurrection hope has come. Pour out your Spirit, opening our hearts and our minds to receive the blessing of your grace, so that we may more fully love you, more fully love each other, and more fully love our neighbors. Amen. And I invite you to hear this reading from Mark's Gospel. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And now, having heard the good news of the empty tomb, let us profess our faith together using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Sunday at Trinity, we participate in what we call a mission box offering. That's giving over and above our tithes and offerings that we use to support our ministry partners here in Gainesville, around the country, and around the world. And this morning's mission box will support the continuation of our partnership with Zoe, and we have a short video to tell you more about it.
Did you know that you can help more by doing less? By skipping out on a few snacks, you can provide a child living in poverty a way to boil water and stay healthy. Or by passing on a single round of golf, you can help an orphan establish a source of income for years to come. The truth is that a couple of dollars may not make a big difference in our lives, but they can make a world of difference in the lives of children in need. Every day, Zoe does just that for vulnerable children struggling in poverty. Zoe helps children grow food, start businesses, and attend school so that in 3 short years, they are completely self-reliant. Zoe invites you to do less today to help children more. Purchase gifts that help to honor your friends and loved ones. See how far even a small gift can go. With $10, a pair of rabbits will quickly become more rabbits, generating income for an orphan in the Zoe program. $10 can also get a group of more than 60 children enough maize seed to start their own farm. $25 buys a pair of chickens that can start a flock, with each hen laying nearly 200 eggs per year. The list goes on. And with Zoe, each of these gifts is used to help children help themselves. We can all help so much more just by doing a little less. For more information on Zoe and gifts that help, visit us online at zoehelps.org. Zoe, helping children to never need charity again.
Now, sponsoring a community through Zoe is a 3-year commitment that costs $8,000 a year. And we began our partnership with last year's Easter Mission Box offering, which provided more than the first year of sponsorship. And so $8,000 is our goal this year as well. Knowing that we did it last year, we can do it again to fully fund another year of partnership with Zoe. And what you see there on the screen is the community that we are sponsoring in Rwanda. And your generosity has given all of these children that you see here a future filled with hope and promise. And so thanks for your generosity last year. Thank you for your generosity this morning. You can give at any of the 5 Mission Box locations that you see as you leave today. Those are the waist-high wooden boxes. There are 5 of them in the back. So thank you very much. And we turn now from the sharing of our resources for the benefit of others to the sharing of our prayers, which also is for the benefit of others. And I know that everyone who's gathered here this Easter morning has come from different places around Gainesville with different prayers on your heart, joys and concerns. And so we'll begin our prayer time with a moment of silence in which you can speak to God in the quiet of your heart about those things. But let us unite our hearts now and go to God in prayer. God of the bright and morning star, God of the rising sun, God of darkness vanished, we praise you this Easter morning. For empty tombs, thank you. For disciples running with good news, thank you. For your presence, alive, powerful, resurrected, thank you. We celebrate your victory over death, over all the powers that would defeat us. Help us to grasp resurrection, to understand its power, to see its force at work in our world, overturning evil empires, changing the hatred within us, moving the world slowly, forcefully, bending us towards love and truth. And so, into the light-filled hope of Easter, we bring those who are struggling with illness, those in despair from grief, and those struggling with the breakdown of relationships. May the risen Christ shine upon them. Into the light-filled hope of Easter, we bring those places in our world where war, violence, poverty, and need are the experiences of everyday life. May the risen Christ shine upon them. And into the light-filled hope of Easter, we bring ourselves, our private struggles, the yearnings of our hearts, our hidden dreams, our unfulfilled potential. May the risen Christ shine upon us. Heavenly Father, we offer these prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is risen from the dead and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. have the privilege now to offer ourselves and our gifts back to God for the purpose of providing for the mission of this church to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And so let us pray together. Gracious God, as we give back to you from what you first gave to us, let us give not out of obligation, but from the heart. Let our gifts be seeds for the work of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, seeds that will sprout an abundance of justice and hope for all that is necessary for life, for our sisters and brothers here at Trinity, in Gainesville, and around the world. Therefore, we pray your blessing upon our tithes and offerings, upon us, and those whose lives will benefit from these gifts. In faith and hope, we pray.
Thank you, choir. We turn our attention now to a reading that comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Before we do, I want to back up for just a minute because we read a passage from the Gospel of Mark a little bit earlier in the service. And the one in Mark doesn't sound quite like the way he ends his Gospel doesn't sound quite like the way Matthew and Luke and John do. Matthew and Luke and John all seem to resolve, and there's their final gatherings and wonderful reunions of Jesus and disciples and followers. Mark leaves us with the women having encountered the empty tomb, but then leaving in fear and amazement and not saying anything to anyone. Well, we'll come back to that in a little bit. But for now, let's take a look at what Paul shares with us in his writing to the Corinthians about the core of the good news. You can follow along with me as I read. Brothers and sisters, I want to call your attention to the good news that I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand. You are being saved through it if you hold on to the message I preached to you, unless somehow you believed it for nothing. I passed on to you as most important what I also received. Christ died for our sins in line with the Scriptures. He was buried, and He rose on the third day in line with the Scriptures. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and then He appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at once. Most of them are still alive to this day, though some have died. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me as if I were born at the wrong time. I am the least important of the apostles. I don't deserve to be called an apostle because I harassed God's church. I am what I am by God's grace, and God's grace has not been for nothing. In fact, I have worked harder than all the others. That is, it wasn't me, but the grace of God that is with me. So then, whether you heard the message from me or them, this is what we preach, and this is what you have believed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this servant, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives this morning. Amen. It was in the spring of last year, on the 21st of May, when a large sellout crowd gathered for the final performance of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. For 146 years, this traveling circus had been entertaining fans across the world. For 146 years, marquee signs had called out to the crowds to come on in, because now appearing was the greatest show on earth. Perhaps some of you, as Catherine and I did earlier this year, went to see the movie The Greatest Showman, that is loosely based on the life of P.T. Barnum, the man who in 1871 took this traveling circus on the road, and then later, of course, merged with Bailey, and then Barnum and Bailey with the Ringling Brothers for what it became to be for its last iteration over the last number of years. Now, Barnum is known to have been quite a character during his day, and he also was known to be a purveyor of some pretty outlandish hoaxes. And those hoaxes often gained him great notoriety and also great wealth. But a part of Barnum's legacy also has to be the fact that he launched a tradition that thrilled kids and families for generations. You perhaps have gone at some point along the way, and you have memories of gathering under the big top and seeing these amazing, extraordinary feats, some of them seemingly impossible. In fact, you really had to see it to believe it, didn't you? There's a line in the title track from the movie that goes like this: "Impossible comes true. It's taking over you. This is the greatest show." Well, today is Easter Sunday. And on this Easter Sunday, just like every Easter Sunday that has come before it, the church gathers to remember the story of the most impossible of all things coming true. Jesus, the one who just a week earlier came riding in on a donkey, humble and lowly, into the town of Jerusalem to the shouts of hosannas. Jesus, who later that week was cast aside by his previously adoring fans, whose shouts turned from hosanna to crucify. Jesus, who on Thursday gathered with his disciples to celebrate the Passover, knowing that it would be his final meal with them before his death, and so offering them a way to remember him through that meal. Jesus, who was then taken from the garden where he was praying as if he were a common criminal. Jesus, who was drugged before Pilate and mocked and cursed there. Jesus, who was carried out into the courtyard and in front of all to see, was beaten and stripped and bruised by the soldiers. Jesus, who was taken up a hilltop and put on a cross to be crucified. And Jesus, who was taken down from that cross and then lovingly carried to a grave that would be his final resting place by Joseph of Arimathea. Or so everyone thought. But today is the day that the church remembers the story that the grave was not the end, because Jesus rose up. He has been raised is the confession of faith that the church has made across the centuries. Resurrection has occurred. Now, if event promoters had been around, you can bet they would have been trying to get in on the action. Can't you hear them? Ladies and gentlemen, now appearing in the upper room, now appearing on the road to Emmaus, now appearing on Tiberias Beach with the disciples, Jesus, who was dead, is no longer. He is alive. Some would have said, you had to see it to believe it. Remember Thomas? Thomas, the one disciple who missed out on Jesus' first trip to the upper room after his resurrection. And so when he came back and the other disciples tried to tell him in all their excitement about having seen Jesus, he said, no. No. I will not believe it unless I see him. Unless I can take my finger and touch him and put my hand in the place where I saw him pierced and bleeding. No. And then what about the rest of us? What about those of us who come so many centuries later? How are we to be sure? Today's scripture, found in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, is actually the oldest account in the Bible of the core of the Christian message that includes the resurrection. You see, Paul wrote to the Corinthians some 20 or 25 years after the date of the event that we celebrate today, and some 20 or 30 years before any of the Gospels would be recorded and make their way into public receiving. Paul begins by saying, I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Jesus died that he was buried and that he was raised. Died, buried, and raised. Because you see, for Paul, resurrection is an essential element of faith and of the account. He goes on later in chapter 15 to say, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. You know, it really is perfect that Easter falls on April Fool's Day this year. Because Easter and the story that we remember today is either the greatest truth there ever was, or it is the greatest and most magnificent hoax that ever was. Easter Sunday offers us no middle ground on who Jesus is. We are either all in or we are all out. John Updike makes this clear in his poem about Easter from a number of years ago entitled The Seven Stanzas at Easter. Listen to the first few verses of his poetry. Make no mistake. If he rose at all, it was his body. If the cell's dissolution did not reverse, the molecules re-knit, the amino acids rekindle, the church will fall. It was not as the flowers, each soft spring recurrent. It was not as his spirit in the mouths and fuddled eyes of the 11 apostles. It was as his flesh. Ours. The same hinged thumbs and toes. The same valved heart that pierced, died, withered, paused, and then regathered out of enduring might new strength to enclose. Let us not mock God with metaphor, analogy, sidestepping transcendence, making of the event a parable, a sign painted in the faded credulity of earlier ages. Let us walk through the door. Updike's poem reminds us that every analogy, any image or illustration that we attempt to use will fall short of capturing the full weight and impact of resurrection. Paul, having preached the core of the good news, of Jesus died, buried, and raised, then turns to the evidence. And the evidence is to be found in the appearances. And so he offers up for us several of those. Peter, also known as Cephas, the 12, and isn't it interesting that Paul includes all 12 here as those who received an appearance from Jesus, even after we know the story of Judas having betrayed him. The 500 brothers and sisters, James and some other apostles, and then Paul adds one more appearance. Did you notice that? The appearance that he himself received. But remember that Paul was not there on that first Easter. Paul wanted nothing to do with Jesus and his followers at that time. In fact, for a number of years after that, Paul was continuing to persecute those who were a part of the early church. And so when he recounts his own appearance, his own encounter, he says that it was as if I were born at the wrong time. And we know from Paul's own encounter, and from Peter's, and from the other disciples, and from others who found courage in the story and in the encounter to begin bearing witness to what they had seen and experienced, we know that it wasn't just the appearances that mattered. It is the change that happens. As one theologian puts it, a new center of existence, a new power for living, a new perspective from which to view all things is granted to those who have that resurrection encounter. And Paul's inclusion of himself in the list as one who was born at the wrong time and yet still had a face-to-face with Jesus, his inclusion of himself makes room for all of us to include ourselves and our stories as well as ones who were born at the wrong time too. Maybe, just maybe, the reason Mark leaves his gospel where he does, seemingly unfinished, is so that each of us will finish it on our own, with our own stories of the resurrection appearances. After all, resurrection, as Tom Oden puts it, is a currently experienced interpersonal encounter. It is not just something that happened back then, something that we remember from long ago. Resurrection is now. Because Jesus keeps showing up. And as Jesus shows up, he shows no partiality. He makes appearances to people of all types, from all kinds of backgrounds and of all ages. And people keep having these encounters that change their lives forever. Another line from that song from The Greatest Showman comes to mind. It says, "Come one, come all. You hear the call to anyone who is searching, just trying to break free." And the call comes out to us. Come. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in prayer. He's here. We can see him in the community gathered on this day to remember the story and the good news. We can find him at the table. We can encounter him in the bread and in the cup. We can meet him when we fall on our knees and offer prayers up to him. And we can see him as we go out from this place and into the world where we see faces that bear witness to the presence of Christ among us, and we are called to love and to serve as we have been loved and served. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is indeed now appearing. Don't miss it. Because God wants everybody to be in on the party. And that is no April Fool's. We pray. Oh God, how amazing and indescribable indeed that you showed up, that you lived and died, and in your Son, Jesus Christ, was buried and then raised again. As he has been raised, so raise us to new life, that we might live to share our own story. And offer them to the world so that they might come to see you also. Amen.
come to this table today to remember and to celebrate God's great love. God who loves each one of us. God whose love doesn't fail. It is right and good always, at all times and in all places, to give thanks to the living God. God created each one of us. God created all the world and called it good. And God created us to go and proclaim that goodness to all. And so this morning we lift our voices saying, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Say that with me. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We remember that in the fullness of time, God appeared in Jesus Christ, who walked in the way of life that we also might follow. Jesus taught all those who would listen and healed those who believed. Jesus said, come one and come all, and welcomed all who sought him. Jesus proclaimed a message of forgiveness and peace. And it was here at a table like this that Jesus invited us to come together, to share together, to share in a meal together, and to remember then to go out and to share that good news that Jesus Christ is now appearing and offers to each of us redeemed and renewed lives. We remember that on the night before he died, Jesus took a loaf of bread and he thanked God and gave it to the disciples and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup. And again, he gave thanks to God and he gave it to the disciples. And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance. So on this resurrection day, we proclaim together the good news that Jesus Christ is now appearing. We remember and celebrate that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Let's say that together. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Let's pray together. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us, your people, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make us those who love others and share your word. Make us healers and bestowers of your grace. And make us one body in Jesus Christ. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and for all time. And now with the confidence in your love and resurrection, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving to come and receive the elements at the altar rail. Servers are finding their places. I remind you again that in Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table is a place that is open and welcome to everyone. It is a place where we can experience God appearing in Jesus Christ, even for the very first time. It's a place where all who seek can find the love and grace of God. So we invite you to come to the station in front of your section of chairs. You'll come out your row by the left and return to the right. Feel free to remain seated until the row in front of you comes, and then you can come forward as well. You'll receive by intinction, which means that you cup your hands to receive a piece of bread and take that bread and dip it into the cup. Then you can return to your seats by the other side, or you can spend time at the kneeling benches in prayer. There's also gluten-free available on the far outside, and just ask one of the servers and we'd be happy to get it for you. Please come. Everything is ready.
Thank you.
pray together. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for this meal and for the mystery of our faith. We give you thanks today for the gift of resurrection life given to us through the appearance of your Son, Jesus Christ, in each of our lives. Help us to go out into the world and to spread that good news. Come one, come all. Jesus is now appearing. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
As we prepare to sing our closing hymn, I would like to invite any of you who would like to sing along on the Hallelujah Chorus with the choir to come to the choir loft while we are singing the closing hymn. There will be greeters on either side who will give you a piece of music, and the altos and basses are on this side, and sopranos and tenors are on that side. Come on, you know you want to join the choir. It's been your dream all your life. Please stand and let's sing together. Crown him with many crowns.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And he is now appearing in your life and in mine. So go out in the strength of the risen Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that in your lives and stories the world might come to know the love of God.